All right. And we are live. Welcome to episode 66, Execute Order 66 of the MCS Real Sports Podcast. I am your host, as always, Matt Scura. And we got my great co-host, Mr. Caleb Conant, to the right. Caleb, how are we doing this fine Friday, August 5th?
Man, it is it's a blessing, man. It is a blessed day today. You know, it's about 3:08. I don't know if you mentioned the time. It's 3:08 on this beautiful Friday. I'm in the desert right now, catching totally different vibes coming from a city boy like me. You know what I'm saying? But glad to be back. We're gonna talk a lot of hot topics tonight. Matt, how you doing, bro? It's been a minute. Talk to me, brother.
Yeah, you know, it's been a minute. So far, life's been pretty good. You know, we're in August. You know, not only does that mean school is coming up soon, but you want to know what else is returning? NFL football, baby. NFL football is back and better than ever this fine August. You know, for today's episode, we'll definitely be discussing the Hall of Fame game that went down between the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Las Vegas Raiders. Got to see a lot of backups, see a lot of rookies, see the number one overall pick, Trayvon Walker, getting a sack. Love to see it. But, you know, besides that, you know, life has been pretty good so far up to this point.
Love it. Love to hear that, bro. School is coming up soon, too. So you already know we got to lock in, make sure we, you know, complete the mission, man. Good grades this semester. Everybody who's listening to this, too, I think it's important to preach that message, too. Make sure y'all lock in and make sure y'all, you know, take care of your priorities this semester. Good grades first.
As Marshawn Lynch would say, take care of y'all bread, take care of y'all chickens, take care of y'all mentals.
Right.
Because it's very, very important. Very important. Right. With that being said, before we get into any of our topics, Caleb, where can the people find all the great stuff that you do?
Ooh, good question. I got an answer for you though, Matt. Look, on Twitter, Caleb Conant 2. In fact, you could see how to spell it below, right here. I'm pointing at it. In fact, C-A-L-E-B-C-O-N-A-N-T 2 on Twitter. On Instagram, put the 1, then go Caleb Conant. You can find me there on Instagram. Click the link tree in the bio. You can find other things that I do too. Got Jules and Jim's podcast, steady posting content there. You never know. You might see another podcast come up where I'm starting something else, talking about something else. So just keep up with me on those two platforms, or you can just put Caleb Conant in your LinkedIn and you can find me there too. Matt, where can they find you?
Man, they can find me, my Twitter at Matt_Scura. Check out the Instagram at Matt_Scura21. In both of those bios, it gives you access to my link tree. Which that link tree gives you access to this very podcast. And you can find this very podcast on pretty much almost every platform. You can find it on Apple Podcasts. You can find it on Spotify, Anchor, iHeartRadio. You name it, it is available everywhere to where you get your podcasts. And with that being said, let's move into the first topic of discussion. Caleb, I'm not sure if you watched, but the Hall of Fame game went down last night between the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Las Vegas Raiders. Now, it's not as big as Thursday, September 8th will be when the Buffalo Bills visit SoFi Stadium. But what the Hall of Fame game symbolizes, it symbolizes that after a 6 months of hiatus of no NFL football, it symbolizes that the NFL football is soon to return. And with that, the final score of that game was the Raiders 27 and the Jaguars 11. Give me your overall thoughts, Caleb. You saw a lot of mainly, you know, backups in, a lot of rookies in. What were kind of your overall takes from it?
Well, man, let me start with this before we even get to the game. So I'm looking and I'm like, well, we got football back tonight. It's the Hall of Fame game. NFL Plus. Let me I'm thinking about getting that NFL Plus because we don't have cable around here. We like to go through the streaming services, you know? So I'm like, how am I gonna get this game? So I'm like, all right, bet. I'm going to go through NFL Plus. So I purchased the NFL Plus for the year. I'm like, all right, let me see if this is a good deal or not. I purchased NFL Plus during the game. And I'm watching the Raiders backups. They didn't look too good. I do like the fact that they have Mullins as a backup quarterback. He's just not always consistent. So I don't know. Hopefully that works out for them. But yeah, I was really just trying to get a glimpse of the young guys, like Mullins, who's somebody good to watch. Josh Jacobs look good out there. You know, maybe for your fantasy teams, might be a guy you want to pick up. And like you said, Trevon Walker. Mm-hmm. He did pretty good as well. So I really wasn't looking too much at the team chemistry. I was just looking at, you know, who's out there making plays, honestly. Maybe some no-name guys who are out there making plays, too. But I've seen a lot of good from both sides. The Raiders definitely look like they're going to be a good team this year, though. And the vibe that their arena gives off is definitely – it's a good feel. I enjoyed just watching the game. It looked pretty cool. How did you feel about the game, though? Who were some standouts on at least Miami side – or not Miami, I'm sorry – on Jacksonville side that stood out to you besides Mr. Walker?
You know, I would honestly say besides Mr. Trevon Walker, I'd have to say, you know, seeing the two quarterbacks of Kyle Slaughter and Jake Lutton, you know, seeing those two, because obviously you know who the guy's going to be. You know it's going to be Trevor Lawrence. You know, the thing about the preseason is that I like the most is you have to see how your rookies look. And then also you want to see kind of how your backups look, because, you know, if there's a situation to where like your guy does get hurt, you know, the backups that you see in preseason, you know, are going to be the guys that start, you know, seeing the mix, you know, it was kind of 50-50. I mean, Kyle Slaughter wasn't too bad. 13-25, 127 yards and a touchdown. Jake Lutton, 10-17, 94 yards. You know, there's some consistency there. The one thing though that is of slight concern is the Jaguars. The Jaguars are still a very young team. You know, they have a lot to work out. You know, they have a new head coach, Doug Peterson, who's, you know, getting acclimated in. You know, I think we're probably going to see a little bit more of Trevor Lawrence in the next preseason game or two. Especially because when you look at it, there's only three preseason games besides a Hall of Fame game. There's 3 weeks worth of preseason to where you pretty much have to get acclimated, get all the buttons working, you know, to get ready for some September football. But, you know, I think the most part, you know, the main takeaway, like you mentioned, Caleb, was just seeing how good the Raiders looked and seeing how good Josh Jacobs was. I mean, Josh Jacobs, he may have only had 5 carries, but having 30 yards, averaging 6 yards per attempt, that's something that you love to see out of Josh Jacobs. Now, hopefully, you know, later on in the preseason, maybe like, you know, week 2 or week 3 of the preseason, you'll get to see the big name guys like, you know, like a Davante Adams that you just got, you know, Derek Carr, Darren Waller. You know, you obviously don't want to use him right away, you know, in the Hall of Fame game, because we've seen sometimes it can happen to where, oh, you may use a guy and then boom, next thing you know, he's hurt and then your whole season changes. So,
yeah,
you know, we'll see what happens there. But one of the main standouts that I really liked, that I really saw, was, like you mentioned earlier, of Trevon Walker from Jacksonville. Started off a little rough with, you know, the old classic roughing the passer call in the first play of the game, which didn't look like roughing the passer, but I guess if they're emphasizing protecting the quarterback, I think you have to call it. But, you know, seeing him get a sack, I think, is definitely a good sign for Jacksonville, because a lot of people were kind of debating, like, should they go Trevon Walker? Should they go Aiden Hutchinson? You know, that was kind of like at the draft, like it was 50-50. Did they make the right choice? You know, we'll have to see how Aiden Hutchinson looks, you know, for Detroit whenever they play. But I would say it's safe to say after this first preseason game, so far Trevon Walker didn't look too bad. But then again, you know, like you mentioned, it is the preseason. You get to see a lot of the backups, a lot of the third strings, just to kind of see who makes a 53-man roster. You know, you kind of have to pay attention to where how he looks, you know, when the time comes in week 1 or week 4 down in September. But so far, for the most part, I think he's off to a good start. And, you know, it's definitely going to be excited to see what both teams can bring to the table. You know, for Jacksonville, it's one of those to where can they show a sense of improvement after a disastrous season last year? And then for the Raiders, it's more of a can you follow up with what you did last year? Can you follow up another playoff appearance like you did last year? Last year you shocked the world through all of your offseason, through all of your season drama, you shocked the world, you made the playoffs and had 10 wins, and were essentially, you know, a drive away from tying against the Bengals. You know, a lot of people forget Derek Carr was inside the 10. You know, it was first and goal, and it just so happened he threw an interception in the end zone and the game was over.
Yeah.
Now that you added Devontae Adams, now you added Chandler Jones in the offseason, now when September comes around, how are you going to look, especially in a heavily contested AFC West, you know, with teams like the Chargers, the Chiefs, the Broncos,
all of them making
their own sort of moves. So
right.
It'll be interesting to see, you know, how the Raiders can follow that up and to see if Josh McDaniels has learned from his previous mistakes that he made in Denver, because some people forget, you know, before Josh McDaniels was the head coach of the Raiders, he was the head coach of the Broncos, and it really kind of wasn't a good stint. He didn't seem like he knew what he was doing. He seemed like he was in way over his head. Hopefully, you know, he has matured over the time, you know, as being offensive coordinator for New England. Now that he's back as a head coach, you know, with the Las Vegas Raiders now, it'll be interesting to see the kind of culture that's brought upon for the Raiders. And it'll be interesting to see, you know, what goes down during the season. With that being said, let's move on to our next topic of discussion. And it could be a sensitive topic for some, for others, not as much. We'll be discussing the Deshaun Watson situation. So for those of you guys who do not know, the verdict was in for the Deshaun Watson suspension. As of right now, he is going to be suspended for 6 games. Now, the NFL recently filed the appeal of their own, which they were rightfully to do so. Roger Goodell appointed a former attorney general from New Jersey to look over the case, and they will essentially look and see whether to keep the same amount of games of 6 games or they are going to add more than 6 games. The NFL said they were looking at an indefinite suspension, which for those of you who do not know what that means, would mean a year suspension. And then meanwhile, you know, Deshaun Watson's team, I'm sure is fine with the 6 games as of where we speak right now. But I want to throw this out to you, Caleb, because if you look at if the 6-game suspension still stands, the 6 games that Deshaun Watson will miss for the Cleveland Browns, he will miss week 1 against the Panthers. He'll miss week 2 against the Jets. Now it's at Carolina, home against the Jets, home against the Steelers, at the Atlanta Falcons, home against the Chargers, home against the Patriots. You'll get those first 6 games. Caleb, if you're the Cleveland Browns and you have either Jacoby Brissett or Josh Rosen as your starter, what do you think their record should be?
I think they should be fine. Like at least 3-3. At least. And I mean, you got to think about, you know, the Panthers, I don't think they'll be too good. That's just my opinion. I don't know. I'm not too sure on the Panthers just because they have Baker and Sam Darnold. I just feel like they'll be a pretty mediocre team this year. Jets, excited to see what they're going to do. Don't think they have enough to beat the Browns overall, though. Steelers, same thing. Think they're still in there figuring out states. All those, not to mention all 3 of those teams that I just mentioned are like building right now. I think the Browns have everything else besides a quarterback when, you know, Deshaun Watson is out. And don't forget that Jacoby Brissett is a solid backup. Now, Josh Rosen, I don't know, but Jacoby Brissett, I definitely think he got those wins. Another team, Atlanta, building team. I don't expect them to be too good this year either. Chargers, that's going to be a hard one. Patriots, hard one. I don't know. I could even see them going 4-2. But I do see them losing to the Chargers and maybe even the Patriots. But those other 4 teams, those could be toss-up games. They should be able to win those. And, I mean, if they had Deshaun Watson, that would be a no-brainer. You know, so. I think they could go 4-2 at the very least, 3-3. 2-4 or anything under 3-3 is a little bit disappointing. They gotta win at least 4 games. How you feel about their schedule and what's next for them?
You know, I agree with you as well. I look at their schedule the first 6 games, and I would say bare minimum they should be 3-3. I mean, the losses that I see, I definitely for sure see the Chargers and the Patriots as a for sure the 2 losses. The only toss-up I could see is potentially the Carolina Panthers. The only reason why I would say that is just because if Baker Mayfield is the starter week 1, that storyline is going to be incredible. Baker Mayfield against the Browns, I think Baker Mayfield will get revenge against the Browns. But if it's Sam Darnold, I think the Browns will beat the Panthers if Sam Darnold is the starter. Now, in my personal opinion, I think the Panthers are rolling with Baker Mayfield as a QB1. Just because, I mean, you look at just the overall storyline, like what's going to bring, if you look at it from a business side, what's going to bring more of a draw to the stadium? Is Baker Mayfield going to bring more of a draw or Sam Darnold? It's going to be Baker Mayfield. People want to see Baker Mayfield because a lot of people forget, like Baker Mayfield, yeah, he struggled last year, but he had so many injuries. He played through a hurt shoulder, which, you know, what was a detriment to him. Maybe he shouldn't have played through that shoulder injury, but it showed that he had heart and was willing to sacrifice, you know, his body out on the line just to try and help his team win. Now, maybe he should have just sat back and waited until he's fully healed. Looking back at it, he should have took that approach. But, you know, in the right now moment, he just wanted to try to help his team win. And, you know, he did everything he could. It just wasn't enough. So, you know, we'll see what happens there. I will say, the only other team I would say in that first 6 games that could potentially throw fits is the Pittsburgh Steelers, just because of the simple fact, like you look at their defense, you got TJ Watt, Cam Hayward, Minkah Fitzpatrick, like that Steelers defense, that steel curtain defense, that's going to be a top 10 defense. So I would definitely say Cleveland should not sleep on the Pittsburgh Steelers, especially if they're 1-1, if they're 1-1 going to that game and they fall to Pittsburgh and fall early 1-2, That could be a slight detriment. Now, I don't think it'll affect their whole season, but it could be a situation to where, hey, you know, you're 1-1, you're at 500, you had a bad loss to the Panthers or a bad loss to the Jets, and you got to play a division rival. If you follow that division rival, fall down early 1-2, it's going to be an interesting hole to climb out of, because then you got Atlanta, but then you got the Chargers and the Patriots. Both are teams that are battling for the playoff spot. Right. And then even when you look at the games following, once Deshaun Watson returns, if the suspension of 6 games still holds, his first game back will be week 7, October 23rd, at the Baltimore Ravens. And then even throughout the rest of the games, like if you think about it like this, the first 6 games, bare minimum 3-3. The Browns are 3-3. And here is the rest of their schedule. They got to travel to the Ravens. They're home to the Bengals. So back-to-back division games. Then you got a bye week. Then you got the up-and-coming Miami Dolphins in week 10. Now, who knows how Tua and Tyreek Hill will look week 10, but you got that going. Then you got at the Buffalo Bills, who are the Super Bowl favorites. Home against the Buccaneers, who are revamped and better than ever. Now, this one is going to be a glorious one. December 4th at the Houston Texans. Deshaun Watson's return to Houston. Now that'll be something. And then you got to close out with at the Bengals, home against the Ravens, home against the Saints, at the Commanders, at the Steelers. You look at that remaining schedule once Deshaun Watson returns. The only real potentially quote unquote easy games is the Texans. And the Commanders. The other games are against teams that are going to be, you know, in the division or in the playoff hunt. Now, I know it's interesting. I didn't name the Saints. In my honest opinion, I don't think the Saints are going to be an easy push. I don't think the Saints are going to be an easy team to push over. They're going to find a way to compete, especially with, you know, especially when you have Jameis, who's on the bounce back tour. You got Michael Thomas. You got Chris Olave. Their defense still has Cam Jordan and Marshawn Lattimore. Like the Saints are going to be a team to watch out for in the NFC, which we will definitely discuss later on. But I mean, just looking at the rest of that Browns schedule now, I predict I could see at least 10 wins from the Browns. Like I could see 9 or 10 wins out of like Cleveland Browns team. But that's only if Deshaun Watson's 6-game suspension still stays at 6. Now, if it's a whole season, oh man, it's going to look bad. It's going to look bad if it's a whole season. But as of where it stands right now, 6 games, I wouldn't be shocked if the Browns go 3-3 without Deshaun and then finish the rest of the season anywhere between the 8 to 10 win mark.
I can see him go from the 9 to 11.
Yeah, and I was going to say, I would throw that same thing to you, Caleb. Could you do you see this Cleveland team winning 8 to 10 games, or do you have them projected differently?
Like I said, I didn't mean – my bad, I beat you to answering your question before you even asked me. But, no, I would say I see him in the 9 to 11 mark, honestly. I think it'd be a disappointment if they don't win 9. I don't see how they would get in the playoffs if they don't win 9 because the AFC is tight. Like, I think almost every team in the AFC is going to have 10-plus wins. Maybe the 7th seed might have 9 wins, but I don't see anyone getting in the playoffs being an 8-win team in the AFC at least. So I think they're going to go 9 or at the most 11. But it all depends, like you said, on the suspension. And assuming that it stays at 6 right now, I do see them. If I was to give it a solid number, I would say if it's 6, I could see them winning about 10. I would roll with 10. I wouldn't be surprised if it was 9. But if it was 11, that would be gone. That would be exceptional if it was 11. Mm-hmm. And I would expect more next year of them. But I feel like this year, since they're, you know, you're getting Amari Cooper, you're adding him to the mix, a whole different receiving core that's been there, you know. Then you have Deshaun Watson, adding him to the mix. It's you're getting a lot of big pieces that they got to work in. So I think maybe in the future, if this team stays together and they do well, maybe we could expect them to win 13, 14 games each season. But since this is their first season right now, I think we're both putting them in a pretty fair win range. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear. And the craziest thing is, if Deshaun Watson never had the suspension, if he wasn't out like the first 6 games, you might be looking at Cleveland as like an 11 or a 12 win team.
Yeah, that's what I'm
saying. And a potential division winner.
Yeah.
Kind of threat, but because he's out the first 6 games, that essentially knocks him out of the division race between like the Ravens and the Bengals, and essentially puts him in the wild card hunt, which. I honestly think like the wild card race in the AFC is going to be one for the ages because, I mean, like you mentioned, there are so many good teams in the AFC. Just look at the AFC West.
Like, yeah, that whole division could make the playoffs, honestly. Yeah. But they can't the playoffs. You can't have four. They can't have four people right?
Well, you can. You just have the division winner, and then they just take up the remaining 3 wild cards. But then again, you leave a team out like the Ravens or the Bengals or the Browns. I mean, it's going to be very hard for all 4 teams to make a division. I think you could have 3, but it's going to be very hard for the entire division to make the playoffs. But with that being said, let's move on to sticking with the NFL side of things. Some of our teams to watch out for. I mean, Caleb, there have been a lot of moves that have been made in this offseason, whether teams have gained some players, lost some players. What are personally some teams to watch out for? I'll first start off in the heavily loaded AFC conference. What are some teams to watch out for in the AFC? And you can have free range. You can name whatever team you want, AFC North, East, South, or West. Any teams to watch out for and why?
You know, number one, I got to go with the Raiders. Just about 300 miles, not even 300, like maybe about 230 miles north of me right now. I'd have to go with the Raiders. I think they're the number one team on the AFC that you have to watch out for. Now, another team in the AFC that I feel like you have to watch out for is the Ravens. Although they haven't had like major additions, I feel like they on the receiving core end, they've gotten a little better. They haven't gotten a little better. They've gotten younger. They changed the way their receivers are built. And that's what I think, people have to look out for, because that means they're going to change the way they play. I feel like usually they had the fast system. They're looking for Brown anywhere they could find him on the field. Now they got a lot of tall receivers, and I think that's definitely going to change the way they play. And that's another team I'm looking out for on the AFC. But number one, I got to go with the Raiders. Two, Ravens. It sounds awkward. It sounds weird. Why the Ravens? I feel like they're coming out with some fidgets. My third team I'm looking out for is the Broncos. The Broncos. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I feel like they have, they have some weapons to be successful, but
Broncos country.
Broncos what?
Broncos country.
Broncos. That's right. Oh yeah.
You ever heard that?
Never. Never.
You haven't seen the Russell Wilson Broncos country? That's right.
Never.
Oh man. Hold on. You know what? I gotta search that up. Then I gotta share the screen for you. I gotta do some research now. I gotta show you the video.
You gotta show me the video. Yeah, but I mean, like I said, nothing special about the Broncos. I just want to see how I'm interested in seeing how well they do. So those are my three teams to look out for. I like the Russell Wilson addition out there in Denver. So I definitely want to see how he fits into that system down there. On the AFC, that's what I'm looking out for. And the Dolphins, for sure. How did I forget to mention the Dolphins? That's Dolphins and Raiders. Those are my two teams. Those other teams, they're good. I'm looking out for them. Don't get me wrong, but Dolphins and Raiders. I don't know why I forgot the Dolphins, but yeah, Dolphins and Raiders, my two teams. I'm looking out for the most. Those other three teams, I'm still looking out for. You finding the video?
I did.
He found the video.
Let me share the screen for you.
Video, yeah. He found the video.
Yeah, sorry. Stand by real quick.
No worries.
Here you go, window. Here we go. All right, here it is. It's supposed to go like this.
Let's ride. Let's ride. Broncos. Let's ride.
Let's ride.
Perfect. Okay. One more time. Broncos country. Let's ride.
Broncos country. Let's ride. Broncos country. Let's ride. Broncos country. Let's ride.
That has been the trend that has been taken over this entire off season has been taken over by Russell Wilson and the Broncos country. Let's ride. That has been the takeover. Everybody has done it too. Even when you look at the college quarterbacks, like one of the most famous ones, I think it was Cowboys own JT Daniels. He's now the transfer QB from West Virginia. He even said, like, Mountaineer Nation, let's ride. That's the new trend.
Yeah, I wasn't feeling that slogan too much, but shout out Russell Wilson. Great acting on your end. Slogan just wasn't Broncos country, let's ride. That's like Rams country, let's ride. No, come on.
But I will say though, honestly, like I do like those teams that you mentioned. I think the Ravens are definitely a good team, especially coming off their injuries. The Raiders, the Broncos, and then the Dolphins. I definitely like all those teams. I will say for sure, definitely some teams that I'm definitely watching out for in the AFC. I definitely am for sure watching out for the Miami Dolphins as well, because in my honest opinion, I think this is Tua's last chance. This is Tua Tagovailoa's last chance to prove that, he is the guy in
last
Miami.
Last chance, bro.
I mean, the way how it's been looking, I mean, now granted, he's been looking good at the training camps. There's been some videos where he's thrown some deep bombs at Tyreek Hill. But they've added weapons for Tua to succeed. You know, trading for Tyreek Hill and giving him a nice massive extension. You know, getting guys as well. I think they also got like Cedric Wilson. They also got, you know, Chase Edmonds. They've supplied a lot of good help for Tua to take the next step. And they have a coach in Mike Daniels, who, in my honest opinion, is going to be a hit or miss coach. He's going to be a coach to where the players are going to love him, and the Miami Dolphins are going to be successful, or they're going to be a team to where they're just going to be a complete flop, and things just aren't going to go well. Now, I think personally, for the Miami Dolphins, you look at the past 2 years, they won 10 games 2 years ago, and then just this past season they won, I believe it was 9. You know, they've been 500 the last 2 years. The expectations for the Dolphins now is to be 500 again. You know, you got to be above 500, and then maybe essentially make the playoffs. I know it's going to be a hard task because you got a lot of good teams in the AFC, but the expectations are high in Miami, especially for Tua. Because if Tua comes out of the gate struggling, it's not going to be good for the Dolphins. And they're going to be essentially looking for a new quarterback, especially when they were in all of those Deshaun Watson rumors, you know, during the season. You know, before this whole saga went down, they were in a whole bunch of rumors. They were looking to get a new QB. They decided no. They stayed with Tua. Now you got to hope Tua takes that next leap, because look at his other QBs in his draft class. Joe Burrow just took his team to the Super Bowl. And Justin Herbert is proving to be one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. Those are in that same exact draft class. Burrow was drafted 1. Tua was drafted 5th. Herbert was 6th. Tua needs to show that he is the guy. The same guy that we saw at Alabama lead him to a national championship. Tua needs to be that guy for Miami to succeed. So they're definitely one of my teams to watch out for.
I like that. You make a good point to as to why, you know, the pressure is on him. I don't feel like it's his last chance, though. And I feel like that because he's going to have a decent year this year. I don't know.
Yeah, he'll definitely –
But I think he's going to be pretty solid. Go ahead.
Yeah, if the Dolphins don't want him, they'll definitely be some teams that'll look for a quarterback. I mean, example, New York Giants, Carolina Panthers. Right. There'll definitely be some teams looking for QBs if the Dolphins don't want him. You bring up a great point with the Baltimore Ravens, but I would say the reason why I wouldn't include them in my teams to watch out for is before Lamar went down, a lot of people forget they already didn't have J.K. Dobbins, Gus Edwards, you know, Marcus Peters. They didn't have a lot of guys, and they were still 8-3. It was just when Lamar Jackson got hurt, that was a straw that broke the camel's back, and they couldn't recover. I think now with their team going to be fully healthy. Now, obviously, you know, they're putting all their eggs in the Rashad Bateman basket, especially when you trade a guy like Marquise Brown in the offseason. You're really putting all your eggs into the Rashad Bateman basket and the Mark Andrews basket. You're really relying on those two guys as being your top two targets. And you are also relying on your run game. So it'll be interesting to see what the Ravens do from there. But I think the Ravens are going to be fully back. I think the Ravens are going to be one of the most bounce-back teams. But
another thing is why, I mean, Jackson wants that contract too. He hasn't been read up yet. So that's
exactly.
Another thing.
So we'll definitely see what happens there. We pray for Lamar to have a fully healthy season, because the last thing that you would want is going to a contract year and then next thing you know, bam, you have an injury. But I will honestly say another team, one team that I would say to watch out for has to be the Indianapolis Colts. I mean, the reason why I throw in the Indianapolis Colts is this was the same Indianapolis Colts had 7 Pro Bowlers. They had an impressive amount of Pro Bowls, a lot of great players. And they missed the playoffs because they lost to, as a lot of some people would mention, to Clown Town. They lost to the Jacksonville Jaguars in a win and end game week 18. And Carson Wentz had a QBR rating of a 4.4. You've made some moves this offseason. You traded for Matt Ryan, a guy who was a longtime staple as the Atlanta Falcons quarterback. I mean, if you look at all-time quarterbacks for the Atlanta Falcons history, Matt Ryan is up there. I mean, you look at besides Michael Vick, there's Matt Ryan. You know, that's the Atlanta Falcons right there.
Right.
Now that he goes in there, he has that same opportunity. And, you know, I mean, you look at the Colts and even with like Tennessee trading, you know, trading away A.J. Brown, Colts adding Matt Ryan, adding, I believe they also got Yannick Ngakoue, you know, from the Las Vegas Raiders. The Colts are in a prime position to where you better make the playoffs. Especially, I'm looking at you, Frank Reich. Frank Reich might be on the hot seat. I mean, if the Colts cannot make the playoffs with Matt Ryan under center, Frank Reich has to go. He has to be fired. You could only baby Frank Reich for so long. Like his first year, he had Andrew Luck. They made the playoffs. Okay, you know, that's fantastic. The next year, they missed the playoffs because Andrew Luck retires last minute. You got to roll Jacoby Brissett. What more can you do? Then you go with old man Rivers in his last leg. You win 11 games. You win 11 games, and you were just in a position to where the AFC South was good. During that year, 2020, you get the 7 seed somehow at 11 wins. You fall short to the Buffalo Bills in the playoffs in Buffalo. And then last year happens to where you get Carson Wentz, and it was a complete disaster. You had 2 weeks to win, and you're in. And you failed miserably. Now this is the year to where if you're Frank Reich, you got to find a way to get it done. You don't have to win a Super Bowl because we don't think you're good enough to win the Super Bowl. But just get to the playoffs because this division is wide open. If we're being honest here, the AFC South has consisted of two teams that are vying. You got the Colts. You got the Titans. Jaguars and Texans are in full-on rebuild. Those should be an easy 4 wins if you're the Indianapolis Colts, at least 3-4. You should easily sweep the Texans. You should sweep the Jaguars, but for some reason you can't win in Jacksonville. That should right there be easy 4 wins. Now, the rest of your schedule is to be determined. That'll be, like, up to you. But, I mean, for the Colts, you got to watch out for them, man, because you got to hope and pray that Matt Ryan can take this team to the playoffs. Because if Matt Ryan, who is head and shoulders better than Carson Wentz, if you can't get to the playoffs with Carson Wentz, Frank Reich has to be fired immediately after week 18. Now, I'm not just going to go – I'm not going to go teams for this certain situation. I'm going to go with the whole division. I'm going with the entire AFC West. I can't wait to see each team in the AFC West. Caleb, you made a lot of great points with the Raiders. I mean, you got the top two receiver and not number two in Davante Adams. I miss him in a green and gold, but damn, he looks good in the black and silver for the Las Vegas Raiders. That Carr to Adams connection. It's gonna be interesting to see, you know, what that goes down. You also got, you know, Darren Waller. You got Hunter Renfro as well. You got a lot of good targets there. The defense. The one main concern I will say for the Raiders is going to be the defense. I know they added Chandler Jones to that front, which will help, but that secondary, man, it's going to be up there. Like, it's going to be 50-50. We'll see what happens. The Denver Broncos, you made great points with the Broncos, but I'm also going to add in and say, I don't want to hear any excuses for the Broncos. What has been the main excuse, Caleb, the last, honestly, 5 to 6 years on why the Broncos have sucked since Peyton Manning retired?
No coach. I mean, no coach. No quarterback. I'm so sorry.
Quarterback. That has been the Broncos' entire excuse ever since Super Bowl 50, ever since Peyton Manning retired. Their main excuse for them not making the playoffs for 6 years was, oh, we don't have a quarterback.
Right.
You had to deal with Trevor Siemian, Brock Osweiler, Teddy Bridgewater, Drew Lock, but now you have your quarterback. You have Russell, let's cook, Wilson. Now people say Broncos country, let's ride, because of Russell Wilson himself. I don't want to hear any excuses for the Broncos this year. You better make the playoffs with Russell Wilson. I know you got a first-year head coach in Nathaniel Hackett, but Nathaniel Hackett knows what he's doing. He's seen how Matt LaFleur works, you know, as the head coach. Matt LaFleur is very successful head coach for Green Bay the last 3 years. Now, granted, we've had a lot of playoff shortcomings. But, I mean, 39 wins in your first 3 years as a head coach is very impressive. It's a very impressive start, very impressive track record. So, Nathaniel Hackett, he goes from Aaron Rodgers to Russell Wilson, two very good quarterbacks with very good Super Bowl pedigrees. So, I don't want to hear any excuses for the Denver Broncos on why you missed the playoffs. You can't pull the old no quarterback excuse anymore. Excuses are done. Broncos, you got to prove it and you got to win. Same thing with the Chargers. The Chargers, I honestly will say, are the most team to watch out for no excuses. Brandon Staley embarrassed himself last year, week 18 against the Las Vegas Raiders, where he physically called a timeout on third down to stop the run. Yet he allows Josh Jacobs to get a first down run of at least 10 or more yards. And then you lose a game because Daniel Carlson is God mode and kicks a game-winning field goal. You have done everything right if you're the Chargers this offseason. You extended Mike Williams. You still have Keenan Allen. You still have Austin Eckler. You signed J.C. Jackson for the New England Patriots and traded for Khalil Mack to go right next to Joey Bosa. The Chargers have everything positioned for them. Not only to potentially win the AFC West, but to make a deep playoff run.
Yeah.
The Chargers have zero excuses. If they miss the playoffs this year, somehow, some way, with this roster, Brandon Staley's going to be on the hot seat. I know this is only going to be his second year as a head coach. But you cannot miss the playoffs with this roster. You just can't. It's mathematically, fathomically, I don't even know if that's a word. I just made it up.
Yeah.
Impossible for them to miss the playoffs. They just can't. There's no excuse for them. They're going to be one of my teams to watch out for. And then the Kansas City Chiefs is just to kind of just to see if they're still the Chiefs. The Chiefs have dominated the AFC West for so long, ever since Peyton Manning retired, because there hasn't really been a team that'll challenge them. Now you look at, they've gone through a lot of changes. You know, they don't have Tyrann Mathieu anymore. They don't have Daniel Sorensen. They don't have Tyreek Hill. They've revamped this whole team.
Yeah.
How are the Chiefs going to look? They've been to four straight AFC championship games. Will the team take a slight decline? We've seen teams where they go on deep playoff runs year in and year out, you know, and then they start to decline a little bit. Will the Chiefs decline or will they still stay atop? You know, that's to be determined. And overall, and then one last team in the AFC that I will say that to watch out for is the New England Patriots. The only reason why I'll say the New England Patriots is, how is Mac Jones going to look in his second year with the new offensive coordinator, which I believe it is going to be Matt Patricia? How is he going to look when he's calling the plays? You know, that's going to be the one thing that I am going to watch out for. But besides that, that's pretty much all the teams I would say to watch out for in the AFC. Just the entire AFC West. You got the Dolphins, you got the Ravens. And then the rest of you just pretty much know how it's going to go. You know how the Bengals are going to be. They just made it to the Super Bowl. We know what they're going to look like. The Pittsburgh Steelers, we know what a Mike Tomlin Pittsburgh Steelers team is going to look. They're going to give their hearts out, you know, day in and day out. You know, they're going to find a way to where even if they aren't above 500, they're still going to give you everything they got, because that's what Mike Tomlin-led teams do. He's been in the league. He's been the head coach for the Steelers 15, 16 years, never had a below 500 record. You know what the Steelers are going to do. They're going to give their hearts out, you know, every day of the week. And then, you know, for the Jets, it's kind of one of those to where we got to see now if Zach Wilson has that dog in him. You know, we know what Zach Wilson did in the offseason. We know the storylines following him. But those are just in the AFC. Now, on the flip side, on the NFC, it's kind of more cutthroat and straight to the point. I want to throw it out to you, Caleb. What are some of your teams to watch out for in the NFC?
Gotta go with the Eagles. You got A.J. Brown over there. You got Jalen Hurts over there. Devontae Smith. We got a good offense, good line. Defense, secondary is good. I think that this is another building year for them. But, you know, if Jalen Hurts has a good year, he could definitely solidify his spot as somebody that they look long-term to build their, you know, the offense around and the organization around as a starting quarterback. I think, like I said, the Eagles, the Saints, just because we have everything there, it could be a surprising year, I believe. I think the Cardinals are another team you got to look out for, just because they have D-Hop and Marquise Brown. Only thing that you're going to have to wait for is the fact that D-Hop is coming back after the 8-week suspension.
Six game suspension, and we have to find out of the Marquise Brown incident, because Marquise Brown recently, yeah, as of this week, got a speeding incident. So we'll see if there's going to be any suspensions for him.
Yeah.
So far, currently it's none, but we'll see if anything changes.
Yeah, facts. So that's one thing that we have to keep in mind. But the team after that, you know, I'm interested in seeing what the Green Bay looks like without Davante Adams. I'm really interested in seeing that. And I think they got a lot of good young receivers, rookie receivers. Somebody's gonna make a name for themselves over there with Aaron Rodgers. So those would be my, I believe, four teams. Cardinals, Eagles, Saints, and Packers. What about you, Matt?
I definitely like that. One of the teams I'm definitely for sure going to watch out for is the San Francisco 49ers. Mm-hmm. I want to see what that boy Trey Lance has in store. There's been a lot of hype over Trey Lance. The Niners gave up a boatload of capital to get him. And now with recently Kyle Shanahan basically saying to the press that this is Trey Lance's team, let's see what Trey Lance could do, because a lot of people forget. In the last 3 years, Jimmy Garoppolo has led the 49ers to two NFC Championship games and a Super Bowl appearance. And if it weren't for a classic Shanahan meltdown in the Super Bowl with 6 minutes left and Jimmy G overthrowing Emmanuel Sanders, the Niners could have been Super Bowl champs. But I digress. The Niners are definitely going to be a team to watch out for, because you look at, they still have the same offense. They re-signed Deebo Samuel, which was one of the number one things they had to do. They brought back Deebo Samuel. They still have Brandon Ayuk. They still got George McGriddle Kittle. You know George Kittle, when he's rocking and he's healthy, he's one of the best tight ends in all of football. That's on the offense. And then also don't forget about, you know, Trent Williams and that offensive line. They're going to run that ball heavily because that's what the Niners do.
Right.
And then you still got that defensive front. You still got Nick Bosa. You still got Fred Warner. That Niners team is still going to be popping off on all cylinders. But now you got a young quarterback in Trey Lance. How is he going to look? I'm definitely going to watch out for the 49ers. I'm also going to watch it. This may be cheesy, but I'm going to watch out for the Super Bowl champion LA Rams. I want to see how they look. You know, will the Super Bowl hangover, you know, affect the Rams, or will they just continue flying on all cylinders? Because when you look at the Rams, they added Allen Robinson, who is set to be looking good so far at the training camp. But I just want to see how they look. I mean, we've seen a lot of teams, you know, post the Super Bowl hangover, sometimes they digress. Will the Rams digress in a heavily competitive NFC West, or will they stay afloat and be one of the top teams? I personally think they're still going to be one of the top teams in the NFC, but hey, you never know.
Right.
And then another team that I like to touch up on is, like you mentioned, Caleb, I want to see what the Saints have in store. I want to see how the Saints are going to look post Sean Payton. And then I also want to see how Jameis looks post ACL injury. You know, there's a lot of things, you know, for the Saints, because the Saints are one of those teams to where they're a borderline playoff team. They could be a team to where if things click right, if things go well, they could easily get the playoffs as a 6 or 7 seed. But they could also be a team to where shit can hit the fan and they could be one of the worst teams in the NFL. And it's basically back to square one for the New Orleans Saints. And it would essentially call for a rebuild.
Right.
That's how the New Orleans Saints can look. One of the other teams that I like to mention as well, you threw this out there as well. I kind of want to see how the Philadelphia Eagles look. I mean, the Philadelphia, like if you look at out of all the teams in the NFC East, the team that has gained and improved the most, to be quite honest, is the Philadelphia Eagles. You look at the Cowboys, they lost a lot of players. They traded Amari Cooper. They lost Cedric Wilson. They had more losses than games. You look at the Washington Commanders, they're just there. I mean, you added Carson Wentz, but really kind of what good does that do? I mean, he's all right, but he doesn't really, like, put you over the top. You know, the New York Giants, I mean, the Giants didn't really add anything. But the Philadelphia Eagles, what did you add? Not only did you draft Jordan Davis to pair up with Fletcher Cox on that defensive tackle front, but you give Jalen Hurts another top-tier weapon in A.J. Brown, and you gave him a massive 4-year, $100 million extension. This is the time for the Eagles. If they want to win the NFC East and prevent another repeating division champ, this is it for the Philadelphia Eagles. This is their opportunity to win the NFC East, and I cannot wait to see what the Philadelphia Eagles can do. Because you look at first year with Nick Sirianni, they shocked me. I didn't think the Eagles would make the playoffs, to be quite honest with you. I thought they'd be a team to where, like, oh, you know, they'll improve. You know, they maybe might go from, like, 3 or 4 wins to, like, 6 or 7. But I did not expect them to win 9 games and make the playoffs. Now they got expectations. And I can't wait to see that the Philadelphia Eagles can live up to those expectations. And one of the last teams that I'll close out with for my teams to watch out for, I'm going full homer with this one. It's in the background. It's by Green Bay Packers.
Oh yeah.
I want to see how our guys look. I've heard a lot of great things in camp about one of our rookie receivers, Romeo Doubs. I mean, Aaron Rodgers has praised Alan Lazard. He said a lot of great things about him. I truly think Alan Lazard is going to be receiver one because he's been in the system the longest and he has proven it and he's been there and done that. And overall, I'm just pumped to see what the Packers can do. This defense is going to be stacked and loaded. I've heard a lot of great things about this defense. You know, guys like Rasul Douglas, Eric Stokes, Jair Alexander. That's a good secondary. You got Devondre Campbell as well leading the linebacker core. You got Preston Smith leading the edge with Rashawn Gary. This defense is going to look pretty solid. You know, this defense has the potential to be a top 10 defense, and I cannot wait to see it. Now on offense. Offense is kind of almost like it's wide open. You know, there really isn't like one target to hone in on, like when we had Davante Adams. With Davante Adams, you know, hone in on Adams. But for the receivers, it's kind of like an open play. You know, do you want to hone in on Lazard? Do you want to hone in on Watkins? Do you want to hone in on the rookie Christian Watson? Now, are they as good a caliber as Davante Adams? Absolutely not. But it kind of keeps the defense on their toes of, shoot, this guy, freaking Aaron Rodgers, he's gonna throw it around. You know, he could throw it to anybody, anywhere he can throw it to. So you got to beware to watch out for. And then I just want to also see the two-headed monster that we have at running back, you know, Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. I can't wait to see what Matt LaFleur has up his sleeves. And I can't wait to see what kind of psychedelic drugs that Aaron Rodgers takes to see if he can win a third straight MVP. Because that would be something. That would be something if he wins his third straight. Now, I don't think he'll win three straight MVPs. But I think Green Bay is going to be one of those teams to where as long as Rodgers stays healthy, anywhere from 11 to 13 wins, that's where the Packers are going to look. But overall, I'm excited to see this football season. Obviously, as we all know, opening season, first game is Thursday, September 8th. Week one starts September 11th.
Yeah.
But those are definitely some teams to watch out for, you know, this NFL season. And with that being said, that will conclude this episode, Executing Order 66 of the MCS Real Sports Podcast. Before we head out, Caleb, once again, where can the people find all the great things that you do?
They can find me on Twitter at Caleb Connor 2, CalebConnaT2. Click the link tree in the bio. You can see a ton of other things, too. You can find me on Instagram at 1, CalebConnaT. Matt, where can they find you?
Man, you can find me. My Twitter handle is at Matt_Skura. Check out the Instagram at Matt_Skura21. And both of those links in my bio, it gives you access to the link tree, which gives you access to this very sports podcast where we talk all things NBA and NFL related, and it is available everywhere. Spotify, Anchor, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, you name it, it is available everywhere. With that being said, it has been yet another awesome edition of the MCS Real Sports Podcast. This is Matt Skura. We got my great co-host, Caleb Conant. We are signing off this fine Friday, August